8:34 the time, 26 minutes shy of 9 o'clock on a Thursday, on an absolutely gorgeous Thursday morning here in Laguna Beach. Going to warm up a little bit this afternoon. Get out and enjoy it at some point. As we do each and every Thursday, we are fortunate to be joined by our mayor, Sue Kemp, to talk to us about what's happening in the city. A very good morning to you, Mayor.
Good morning, Ed. It is a beautiful day, isn't it? It's going to be hot today.
It's fantastic, yeah. And even if we get above the 80 thing, it still gets to be a little uncomfortable here on the coast, but it's a perfect day to be outside.
Yeah, it's a little too warm for this early for the spring. I wish it would, you know, hold off a little bit longer, because we're probably going to have a really hot summer and fall, I would imagine.
Right. For the longest time, we had a, you know, an older beach cottage with no air conditioning. And you figure when you live on the beach in a beach cottage, you're going to get that cool sea breeze. There are times when it's the mid 80s and there is no breeze, and that gets pretty uncomfortable.
It sure does. It really does.
So this morning we are we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. I'm going to take you back and forth and across different ways. So thank you for indulging me there. A couple of weeks ago, you and I talked about getting all of the Orange County mayors to combine and send relief to Ukraine. Are there any updates there?
Well, a couple things. One is the mayors didn't meet the last. After I talked to you, the mayors canceled their meeting because it was St. Patrick's Day.
You could have met at a bar somewhere.
Yeah, we could have met at a bar. Yeah, but we didn't meet. But so a couple updates there. One is, so I have a resolution that we're going to talk about the city council, which is, you know, it's calling for an end to the crisis in Ukraine and promoting humanitarian efforts, you know, in support of the Ukrainian people. And it's really more city directed. And what I mean by that is, where we say we recognize the bravery of the municipal officials and some of the public servants in the Ukraine who are working to protect the citizens' lives and liberty and, you know, property in their community. So we're talking more about the local, you know, as if it was our city. We're talking about more what we would have our wish and hope for the, you know, the city governments in these cities and, you know, what they're up against and supporting them. So it's more about that. There's not a lot about Russia, but it's more about support to the Ukrainian people. You know, I also attended, they had a fundraiser Tuesday of this week at the museum. Right. And, you know, we have some very generous people in town. So we raised $100,000 going directly to the Ukrainian people.
That's fantastic.
So that was fantastic. Yeah. And there were some Ukrainians there. And they sang some Ukrainian songs, and we had some speakers, and, you know, and there were, there was, I think, a couple Ukrainian young kids there. And I noticed when someone was talking, one of the adults was talking about the atrocities in Ukraine, I saw this young boy cover his ears, and I thought, you know, this is something a young person should never have to see or hear.
Right.
And just that, you know, beyond all the stories, the singing and that just really got me when I saw that. I thought, oh, this is just something that these poor kids, oh my gosh.
And I had spoken to her yesterday, and I had to compliment Julie Perlin Lee from the Laguna Art Museum. Doing everything right, and then putting that together was such a great idea. And the fact that they raised over $100,000 is fantastic.
Julie is fantastic. We are lucky to have her, you know, heading up our art museum. She's just got really good head on her shoulders. She's very kind, smart. Right. And she and Barbara McGilvery were collecting money as we came in. And, you know, Barbara was doing the shakedown. That was really good.
She'll put you up against the desk. All right, how much you got? What do you got on you?
Yeah, that was just a great combination of people. And we just, the generosity in this community is just, you know, it's so impressive.
Right. Which brings me to the next question here. And I know that you listen to the show regularly, and the generosity of this community, not just financially, but of spirit as well. Last Thursday, we had a drum circle down at Aliso Beach for Taylor Hawkins. We honored his life with a drum circle, and a lot of people showed up, signing multiple artists' canvases that we will eventually present to the family. But the question came up on Monday's program, and I know you listen on a regular basis when you can. I'm not sure that you heard this. The question came up, what about renaming the Irvine Bowl the Taylor Hawkins Memorial Amphitheater? And then We had gone through the discussion with the listeners back and forth on, well, you know, it was initially donated by the Irvine family, for the usage. And I'm thinking there has to be a compromise in there somewhere. But I don't know what the procedure is. So is this something, if it were something that we were going to want to put forward, is it something we ask directly to the Irvine company? Do we ask the city? Is it something you would do? How does that process look?
Well, I think it's a difficult proposition, I think, Ed, for a number of reasons. One is, so the city owns the property there. We lease it to the Festival of the Arts, and they run the programming there. And then we also have, you know, we have a contract with the Festival of the Arts on how often we can use the Irvine Bowl. Just so general, right now we're in the phase where, remember, we did the survey, and we got like 92% of the respondents said they'd like to see more programming at the Irvine Bowl. So we're at the point now where we're trying to work on more programming, I think, to try to change the name with the Irvine, the donation from the Irvine Company and all the things that go along with that might be extremely problematic. So I don't think it's all that likely here, but I don't think it's a bad sentiment, though.
Okay. All right. And let's say that once we do, you're talking about maybe adding additional programming to the Irvine Bowl. What type of length of time do you consider, would you think that would take?
Well, so, you know, I'm not on the Irvine Bowl committee. It's Bob Whalen and Peter Blake are on the committee. And so I'm not privy to their discussions until it comes to council. But, you know, they're pretty much tied up. And I think they are pretty much tied up with the Irvine Bowl with the festival from, I don't know particularly their schedule, but I would say early spring through September. Right. But, you know, we had, so I would like to see some programming there, you know, in October when the weather's still really nice and part of November. And then maybe in the early spring if we could do it. But we have to limit the time because we have people that live above the Irvine Bowl who, you know, they don't want to have the disturbance. So, you know, I think if we could use that, you know, maybe if we could end something at 9 o'clock, maybe on a, you know, weekend or something like that, something to adjust the hours so it's palatable for, you know, the neighbors. But and also we get some, you know, opportunity to use that because that's a fantastic facility. So grossly underutilized.
It really is. It's a great facility, and you're right. It is underutilized, and it is really a thin, tenuous line we have to walk with it because there are residents, right? So I get it. I get the issue there. Thank you, by the way, for the honesty and that answer. I really appreciate that, Mayor. Part of Tuesday's agenda also includes the library and a resolution approving the acquisition documents for it's not a resolution, but approval of acquisition documents for the county public library. And I this comes to mind as I read this. Social media can sometimes be so poisonous to the truth, and sometimes you see on these, you know, local pages or whatever, please address the fact that there are no plans to tear it down and build some 7-level massive parking structure.
Well, this is one of the dumbest things since I've been on council that I've heard. So I've, you know, we've gotten some emails about it. I got some calls about it. And, you know, I don't know how to combat these kind of ridiculous things that come out, but, you know, I guess you just have to listen to the council meeting and I'll probably write something in a column and send it out too. But, yeah, so we had a 50-year lease with the county. It started to run the library. So the county has the property. It started in 1970 and expired in 2020. And as part of the contract, at the termination, and after 50 years, we have the right to purchase that property. If we don't, it stays with the county in perpetuity. So for one thing, let's just say it doesn't make any sense for the county to own. There's actually 4 parcels there, even though the library's on, you know, let's say roughly 1.5 of those. They're oddly shaped parcels right there. But we get all of them back, and it doesn't make any sense, first of all, to have the county own property right in the middle of our downtown. So that's number one. Right. Number two is the deal that we've crafted with them, and this is a brilliant negotiating tactic on Sheree Dupuy's part, is so we pay them, I think it's around $4.2 million to purchase all that property. They save that $4.2 million for us to either rehab the existing library or build another library if we choose to do so at some point. So they just hold the money. Right. So, and I also, you know, somebody with, you know, not very much forethought, put something on out in the social media world that Bob and I were going to, because we're on a parking subcommittee, that we're going to, you know, tear down the library. We're not tearing down the library. Right. It's the stupidest thing ever. I just can't stand this kind of stuff. It's just a waste of time.
It really is. And,
yeah. It's just a waste of time. I've had, you know, even at the Ukraine event, I had some people ask me. So I've been starting to tell people, here's the sources, the rumors, you know, next door. And also next door is not a source necessarily for facts.
So. Yeah, it's like the last place you go. It really is. Where's the last place I want to go for facts? Okay, next door. Well, thank you.
Yeah,
for-
I don't read it or anything, but sometimes people will send me clips out of there. I'm like, oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, I try not to even look that direction, but when I do, I end up shaking my head. So thank you for clearing that up. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Also on the agenda for next Tuesday is a council member item about appropriation of funds for a city of Laguna Beach housing fund. What does that look like?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I will say that appropriation of funds happens. And discussion of spending happens at budget time. It doesn't happen now. So, you know, when you have, you can't, when you bring something forward like this, you know, I'm just going to say at the council meeting, I'll tell you right now that it's not appropriate to bring it up. You bring it up at budget time, because if you want to appropriate funds from the general fund or from anywhere else, you have to think of what would we be foregoing if we did that. So everything, you know, you have to take everything in context.
Right.
And so, you know, if you have an idea, the council member has an idea or something, you bring it up at budget time, and it's considered by the council in the context of all the things that we, you know, have to do to make sure, you know, our town is run well.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Well, I'm hearing something about an alternate ballot measure. Are we going to be discussing that?
Right. So we have an item that's called consideration of land use. It's height, mass, and scale and parking provisions to be considered either for Dakota amendment or for a ballot measure. And this is in response to the Laguna Residents First ballot measure that we voted to put on the ballot, you know, several council meetings ago. And also said that, you know, that there's at least three of us that are not in agreement or support it, but we might support something, you know, less onerous and maybe more palatable,
right,
addressing really height and mass and scale. Because I think when people think about when there's, you know, people are out there ginning, first of all, we don't have an overdevelopment problem in our town.
No, we don't.
We're not doing anything.
Right.
Nothing. and there's nothing in the plans. And every time if a bad project comes forward, it gets knocked down by the planning commission and by the city. And then the, you know, council weighs in after that. So there really isn't a problem that needs to be addressed. But I think most of the time when people get concerned about development, it has to do with, you know, are we going to have big buildings on the coast? No, we're not. And would we approve like block long developments? No. But I think we're just going to put something together that's very reasonable and kind of addresses what people are most concerned about. So we're going to put that forward and have a discussion at the council.
I think you used the right phrase when you said palatable.
I want, you know, if we're going to do something, I want it to be simple, because people need to understand what they're voting for.
Right.
And, you know, my opinion was that if we're going to put something forward, first of all, the height limit's already in our code, you know, so we abide by that. You have to get a variance. Hard to get a variance in this town for height, period. But I think, you know, you have to make sure that people understand what they're voting for and what their real concerns are. But if you try to take it too far and go into permitting and all this other stuff, and it gets very complicated, then people really don't understand. And I think voters need to understand what they're looking at.
Right. It's easy to get lost in that minutia. It really is.
It's hard enough for us and for the planning department, you know, in cities like ours. We have a really good planning department. They know this inside and out. They go to school for this. It's hard, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of factors that weigh in, particularly the Coastal Commission. So people think, I mean, I've been listening to a lot of Coastal Commission hearings, and I've testified on some things lately. If people think that we're ever going to get a big building on the coast anymore, they're sadly mistaken. That's just not, I don't think we could get like a montage project here anymore because of, you know, sea level rise, climate change, you know, considerations of water runup and stuff like that. Right. It's just, those days are gone.
Right. It's not realistic.
My personal opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you don't have to answer this next question now. You can sit on it for a week or so. But I've been asking the listeners to send me their three, maybe four, five favorite rock and roll songs of all time. Whatever you think that is, whyever you think that is, and think about it. And we'll be asking you maybe next week when we talk what those might be and why.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
Are you good with that?
Oh, totally.
I know you're a music lover. You have great taste in music. I can't wait to hear your list. Thank you so very much once again for being with us on the morning show.
Thank you, Ed. It's a good day to be in
the... Yeah, it is. Mayor Sue Kemp, thank you again. 8:50 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed show. Just minutes away. Personal Stash, Intro Wars.